Good morning. Today's Daf Megillah is Daled. We are on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to be treated this morning to a number of halachas by Rav Yishuv Ben Levi as it relates to Kriyas Megillah. We learned together in the Mishnah that the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is specific to a date. Which date? Well, it depends. If you're living in an unwalled city, so you're going to be reading on the 14th, and in a walled city, so you're going to be reading on the 15th. Yesterday, we learned a machlokas amongst the Tanaim in terms of the city has to have a wall from which historical period. So our Mishnah taught us that it has to go all the way back to the Yehoshua ben Nun, circa 3,300 years ago. And according to a Brice, according to the sheet of Rav Yishuv Mekarcha, so it only needs to go back to Shushan, circa 2,500 years ago. So that is a machlokas amongst the Tanaim and the Gemara yesterday. And yesterday's stuff went back and forth in terms of which of those shitas is more defensible. And obviously, our Mishnah is going with the former shita, not the latter shita. Additionally, yesterday, we talked about a value system. We went over a number of different scenarios of where I have competing values and which one is going to take precedence over what. Rava gave us five different competing value systems and which one is going to take precedence over what. And four of them he knew for sure. The last one he was a little bit unclear about. But then after further consideration, the last one was, what if there's a toss-up between the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah and Meis Mitzvah? So Kriyas Megillah has Pirsumei Nisa, Meis Mitzvah has Kavod HaBrios. Which of the two should take precedence, one over the other? But then upon further review, he came to the conclusion that Meis Mitzvah, because Kavod HaBrios is going to take precedence over that of Pirsumei Hanes. That is a quick recap of what we saw yesterday, and we pick it up right there in the Gemara Gufa. I'm Rav Yishuv Ben Levi. So we are in Gimel Amud Beis, and we're about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. So the first halacha, I'm Rav Yishuv Ben Levi, krach v'chol asamachlo v'chol anirimo nidon k'krach. So we learned yesterday about a walled city. The word krach literally means city, but in the context of our Gemara, it's going to mean a walled city. In just a moment, so it's going to be used slightly out of context, where it's just going to be a reference to a city. But right now, we assume that's a reference to a walled city. And so what are we learning together? We're learning that not only does a walled city really read on the 15th, but even the suburbs, even the neighboring suburbs are also going to be reading on the 15th. And now it's just a question of zoning, of what is going to be considered a neighboring suburb. So Rav Yishuv Ben Levi teaches us, we saw this already, but the Gemara now wants to go a little bit deeper, just a little more detail. And that is that if I have a krach, v'chol asomachlo, so proximity, and v'chol anira imo, and visibility. So we got now two ways of establishing what is a suburb. One is proximity, the other is visibility, and the Gemara now wants to clarify. So, Tana Samach, Alfa Pishenu Nira, Nira, Alfa Pishenu Samach. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says that it can be either or, either proximate or visible. Okay, good. So now it's either or. What does that mean? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So, Bishlam, Nira, Alfa Pishenu Samach, Mishkachla Kigon Diasva Biro Shahar. So the Gemara says, before we go further in the Gemara, let's just remind each other what we learned yesterday. We did learn about proximity yesterday. So yesterday's daf, so we said that proximity is a mil. So we know what proximate means. So, but now we're learning that it's proximate or visible. And either one of them would be fine. So even if you're not proximate, but you're visible, so that would be okay. So now the Gemara wants clarification. Okay, now let's go back. So Bishlam and Iraf Apishenu Samach Mishkachla Kigon Diyasva Berosh Ahar. So the Gemara says, so I'll give you an example of visibility, and that is that you're on the neighboring mountaintop. Okay, not so long ago, funny thought, but not so long ago, I climbed a volcano, and the neighboring volcano was erupting, right? And David was with me. Okay, so that's weird, right? In a small little country called Guatemala. Okay, neither here nor there. Anyway, so that is visibility. Visibility is that even though you're not proximate, but as long as you can see it from one mountaintop to the other mountaintop, that would be fine. So the Gemara says, now, but what does that mean that you are proximate but not visible? What's that? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yirmiyah, Shoshevas Benachal. So Rav Yirmiyah says, it's a simple example where the city's up on the mountaintop, you're deep in the valley, and you don't have visibility. Ah, but you're proximate, that's good. Okay, so all the Gemara did was just simply clarify that either of those two, and it doesn't have to be both, either of those two would register you as an official suburb, in which now you're also going to be reading on the 15th, and it could either be a function of being proximate or a function of being visible. I'm Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Just before I go on, in Eretz Yisrael, so always a discussion, debate in terms of the neighboring cities around Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a walled city, going back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. They're going to be reading on the 15th, and then the question becomes, then which neighboring suburbs of Yerushalayim are going to be reading? So it's always been a back and forth in terms of what to do in the neighboring suburbs. And in my lifetime, I've seen or at least heard that you know it fluctuates based on the posik and trying to fit the Gemara's qualifications into your particular suburb. Anyway, I'm Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Krach Sheyashav L'Sof Hukaf, Nidon Kikfar. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi teaches us the following, that if I have a Krach that first was settled, and then afterwards a wall was created, so Nidon Kikfar, so this is going to be judged like a Kfar. Rashi says over here that this particular halacha is relevant to Bate Arichoma. Right, we know the halacha is that if you're in a walled city, so the sale of property is not a lease, but it's actually a sale. Right, if the buyer retains it for a year, so then he gets to keep it in perpetuity. Okay, the halacha Bate Arichoma. So the and Rashi says that this particular halacha is relevant to Bate Arichoma. From Rashi, does that mean it's not relevant to Kriyas and Megillah? Maybe yes, maybe no. Tosus actually discusses it, but just say over the Rashi anyway. So if I have a city where first it was settled and then afterwards it was the wall was created around it, so that doesn't have the status of a walled city. My tama dichsi ve'ishkiyim kor beis moshav ir chama. So shehukav losof yashav velosh yashav losof hukav. Okay, so from the pasuk, so the implication is that in order for the city to have the status of a walled city, first wall, then inhabitants. Okay, v'am rev Yeshua Malevi. Krach she'in bo asar batlanim. Okay, so here we go with another halach of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. And as I mentioned earlier, normally krach is referring to a walled city. So Tosfos points out over here, not in this particular case. In this particular case, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi now is teaching us a halacha as it relates to a unwalled city. Now, I know the term krach now gets confusing because most of the time it's talking about a walled city, sometimes not. Here's one of those sometimes. So here it's not referring to a walled city, but rather an unwalled city, and now we're just going to be establishing when is it considered a bona fide city versus when is it considered a village. We learned in our Mishnah that villages get to read early. So the early reading of the Mishnah, of the Kfarim that we learned in the Mishnah, they can either read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, depending on the Monday or Thursday prior to the 14th day of Adar. So now what the Gemara is telling us is that in order to be considered a village, so you do not have 10 batlanim, or just to invert that statement, in order to be considered a city, you must have 10 batlanim. A batlan is just simply somebody who's going to be in shul present for a minyan. In other words, you'll have a minyan. So So if I don't have a city with 10 batlanim, so that's considered a village. My kamash balantaninam. Gemara says, okay, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, thank you very much for sharing that information with us. But isn't it a brisa? Ezo here gadola kosheish ba star batlanim pachos mikan hariza kvar. So the Gemara says it's a brisa. So what's Rav Yehoshua ben Levi now adding to the discussion? So krach itzrich leafagav de mikle lama ama. So the Gemara says no. He's adding the following: is that let's say there is a minyan, but everybody is traveling through. Meaning we don't have 10 residents. That's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is telling us. Is that even though we have a minyan with all the passerbys and everyone that's traveling through, but there are no 10 residents that are living here. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is telling us, is that that still does not qualify as a krach, that now qualifies as a kfar, in which they can read early. Next halacha. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi krach shechar v'lasov yashav, nidon k'krach. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tells us that if I have a krach that was destroyed, and then it was inhabited. So that's nidun kikrach. My charav. Now, what does that mean? It was destroyed. Ilem achar v'chamasav yashav in lo yashav lo. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The walls came down. So what does it have to do with residence? Meaning, even without a wall city is considered a wall. V'atanya with the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rebbe Lazar Bar Yossi Omer, Asher lo chama. So in the Torah, when describing a walled city, now obviously when the Torah is describing a walled city, it's not describing it in the context of Mikra Megillah, because obviously there was no mitzvah of Mikra Megillah at the time of the Torah. Nevertheless, the point over here is that we're looking for the definition of a walled city. Obviously, the pasuk over here is in connection to Bat Erechama, as we just discussed moments earlier. The point now is that if you look carefully at the pasuk in the Torah, Asher Lo Chama, that it has a wall, well, it's written Lamed Vav Aleph. So it could either be it has a wall or it does not have a wall. Now, that's a little bit weird. What does that mean? It does not have a wall. The Torah is trying to describe a walled city. So what does it mean? It does not have a wall. So that's what gives the Gemara the opportunity to make a drasha. So even though it doesn't currently have a wall, but as long as at the original planning of the city and the original building of the city, it had a wall, it is considered a walled city. So what we're learning together now is that a walled city, vis-a-vis its status of being a walled city, you don't need it to have a wall currently. As long as historically it had a wall, that's going to be sufficient. So now we're resetting the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so we just learned together that a walled city does not have to have currently a wall, as long as historically it had a wall. So what was Rav Yeshua ben Levi telling us about inhabitants and whether there are, there aren't? So Ela mai charav shecharav me'asara batlanim. So over here, when it means charav, it means that it doesn't have asar batlanim. So okay, that's what Rav Yeshua ben Levi meant earlier. The Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Now, as we turn to the top of Dal Med Aleph, another comment by Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Lod va'ona v'geach harashim u'kefes choma miyamos Yoshua ben Nun havu. So the cities of Lod, Ono, Geach, Harashim, so they are considered to have a wall from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Meaning, what the Gemara is doing is just simply identifying cities that may currently not have a wall around it, but did have a wall going back to the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Alternatively, it currently has a wall, but we just don't know its history. And what Rav Yeshua ben Levi is telling us is a history lesson, that yes, these walls date all the way back to Yoshua ben Nun. So, v'hani Yoshua banani v'ha el pa'el, or el pa'al banani. So the Gemara now just wants historical record in terms of who in fact built it. So, d'chsiv v'bnei el pa'al avar misham v'shamar hu banas ono, v'eslud uv'nosel. So, fine. So we have a pasuk that ascribes its building to a different builder and not Yoshua ben Nun. So the Gemara says, and look, as long as we're quoting Psukim and Tanakh, I can find you that it was built at a later point in time. So Vayiven, now in terms of the Girsa over here, so you can see Rashi struggling with the Girsa over here. Anyway, the Gemara is going to be quoting another Pasuk that seems to attribute its building to Asa. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, Hani Mukafes Chama Miyamos Yoshua Ben Nun Hava. So the Gemara says, look, Rav Yoshua Ben Levi is right. These cities had a wall dating back to Yoshua ben Nun. I, the Pesukim and Tanakh that seem to give attribution to other builders, they weren't the original builders. So the Gemara says, look, you just have to follow along the history. Meaning, in these particular cities, so the original walls were in fact built by Yoshua ben Nun. And then you go to the end of Sefer Shoftim, and the tragedy of Pelegish Begiva, which covers the last three prakim of Shoftim, Yutes Chaf and Chaf Aleph. So in part of that tragedy in civil war, these walls came down. The walls were destroyed. So that was the second time that was rebuilt. But again, they had walls going back to Yeshua ben Nun, but because of the civil war, so they came down. They were rebuilt. Then, at a later point in time, they needed to be. They need to be strengthened. They need a little bit of touch up. Dekanam dichsiv ayomar luyida nivnes ha'arim ha'ela mechlal da'arim havu mi'karish mamina. And again, careful reading of the pasuk and Tanakh would seem to indicate that there was once upon a time a wall there, and they're just simply rebuilding the wall. Okay, ad kan. The Amr of Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, so as you probably noticed this morning, a number of halachas that are given over to us by Rav Yeshua ben Levi so far. Almost every one of the halachas is relevant to what is the definition of a walled city, suburbs of a walled city, the history of a walled city, etc., etc. Okay, and then a little bit of a discussion in terms of an unwalled city and the batlanim. Okay, but anyway, v'am Rav Yeshua ben Levi, next halacha Rav Yeshua ben Levi, nashim chayavos b'mikra megillah, she'af hein haya ba'osar anes. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of kriyas megillah because they were part of the miracle. Okay, and this statement of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, so we could talk about this for a long time. We're not. Because that's just we got a daf to cover this morning, but nevertheless the basic points over here Number one, women are obligated in a mitzvah, despite the fact that it is a time bound mitzvah. It's calendaric. It's connected to the date on the calendar. And so therefore, one could make the argument that they're not obligated in the mitzvah, because that's normally the rule of mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Albeit over here, it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But still, it is a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. But nevertheless, women are chayiv. And why women are chayiv? Because they were part of the miracle. What does that mean? They were part of the miracle. So Tosfos over here, you can see the third Tosfos on the Amud, where he has a discussion. Sorry, fourth Tosfos on the Amud. I'll go out of order over here. And the fourth Tosfos on the Amud, so he has a discussion in terms of what the Gemara meant by that. Either the Gemara means that they were instrumental in the miracle, i.e. Esther, or he discusses that they were just simply part of the gzera of the annihilation of all the Jewish people. That's one discussion to be had over here. Another discussion to be had over here is that when the Gemara says that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, meaning their obligation presumably is tantamount to that of men, meaning that you can now have a woman reading on behalf of a man. Is that correct? Tosus, the third Tosus on the Summit, discusses that very point, and he quotes the Shita of the Bahag. The Bahag is of the position that a woman cannot read on behalf of a man, and then there's a subsequent discussion to be had in terms of why should that be? Why wouldn't a woman be allowed to read for a man? So a lot of discussion to be had over there. We're going to go on. Okay, yeah, right. You could, right. That's one way to say it. 100%. Rav Yeshua ben Levi Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos Shalom Darshan Binyanu Shal Yom. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi tells us another halacha, and that is, what if Purim comes out on Shabbos? Again, in our fixed calendar, it's not happening. Our fixed calendar has it so that Purim will not be falling out on Shabbos. However, even in our fixed calendar, so Shushan Purim will come out on the Shabbos. But okay, but the 14th day of Adar never will come out on the Shabbos in our fixed calendars. Still, the Gemara is telling us a halacha where it could happen, meaning practically it won't, but in principle, in theory, it could happen, where Purim comes out on the Shabbos. So now what? So the Gemara is, first of all, operating with an assumption, which is that we're not going to be reading the Megillah on Shabbos, okay? For reasons which hopefully at this point in time you know already, because we already saw a number of times here in Seder Yuma. We saw it back in Sukkah. We saw it in Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to be seeing it again in today's daf, at the end of today's daf. So we all know that we're not reading the Megillah on Shabbos. That's a given. Gemara already assumes that. Okay, so you're not reading the Megillah on Shabbos. But Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, here's what's going to happen. So when the Rav gets up and he darshan, so what he's going to do is he's going to darshan the Megillah. So his sermon is going to include learning the Megillah and giving us some divrei Torah on the Megillah. So the my irya Purim afil yom tov nami. So the Gemara says, okay, but is that really something that's specific to Purim? Meaning, isn't that true by every yantav? D'tanya Moshe tikelam liyisrael shiu sholem v'darshim b'inyanu shol yom hilchos pesach v'pesach hilchos atzeres batzeres v'hilchos chag v'chag. So the Gemara says that we know this, meaning for every yantav. So the Rav is to get up there and darshan about that particular yantav that's appropriate for that yantav. Now, there is another discussion that we have. In fact, when we get to the end of the Masechta, so we're going to be quoting this again, and there the Rishonim deal with, are struggling with the fact that our Gemara seems to suggest, not seems, our Gemara is saying that you must be darshaning on the Yontif about the Yontif. Meanwhile, we have another Gemara that tells us that you got to be 30 days prior to the Yontif, you already got to be preparing. Good, and there are ways in terms of how to address what seems to be an inconsistency in terms of when is the appropriate time. Okay, and good. That deserves its own discussion. Meanwhile, we're just right now dealing with the fact that Rav Yeshua ben Levi is giving us this tremendous chiddush that on Purim, you got to be darshaning about Purim. Even if it comes out on Shabbos, you got to be darshaning about Purim. That's true by any yontif. So the Gemara says, no, Purim mitzvah le'mau detema nigzor mishum derabba kamash malan. So the Gemara says, no, it's an extra chiddush by Purim. Why? Because here's what I might have thought. What I might have thought is that, no, you shouldn't be talking about the Megillah altogether. Why? Because if we start talking about the Megillah, so everyone's going to get excited. Oh, Megillah, today's Purim. So then, as the Rav is darshaning, what they're going to do is they're going to take out the Megillah, they're going to start reading it. Okay. That's a Havamina. That's why I would have thought that really what you should do is you should just stay away from the Megillah. Don't even darshan the Megillah. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is no. The Amr Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Chayv Adam Lekrosis, the Megillah, Belayla Vishnosa Beyom. Another halacha. Rav Yeshua ben Levi says that a person is obligated to read the Megillah at night and to repeat it during the day. Shenemer Lakaya Kra Yomam Velo Saneh, Belayla Velo Domyali. The Gemara quotes over here from the Perek, from the 22nd Perek of Tehillah. Ayelas HaShachar. The Gemara elsewhere has taught us that perek is in connection to Purim. Okay, now we all understand, or we're well aware of the fact that the prakim of Tehillim are written significantly earlier than the episode of Purim, hundreds of years earlier. But still, it's written al yidei nevuah, so time doesn't really become a consideration. But meanwhile, the Gemara elsewhere darshins out that perek in Tehillim is relevant to it relates to Esther, it's the Gemara in Yuma. Okay, Rashi quotes it over here. Anyway, so the Gemara in Yuma tells us that this perek is relevant to Esther. Anyway, from the perek, the Gemara notes that there seems to be two times to read. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, good. So there is a mitzvah to read it at night and to repeat it during the day. Now, when the Talmidim heard Rav Yeshua ben Levi say it, so as Rashi points out over here, he said it b'lashon HaKodesh, meaning he said over the halacha, not in the spoken language of Aramaic, but he said it in Lashon HaKodesh. And so when the Talmidim heard him say that, so they said the following. Savramini lemikra belaila. So here's what he meant. He meant that you should be reading the Megillah at night, and then the next day, ulemisne masisin didabiyamama. Learn the Mishnayos. Because what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say? Ulishnosa bayam. Lishnosa. So it could be understood to mean that you're learning the Mishnayos. That's what the students thought. So that's a funny thought by the students, meaning, if anything, so there seems to be much more evidence that you should be reading during the day than reading the night prior. Okay, but nevertheless, that's what they thought. So I'm a little Rabbi Yirmi, a little mefarsh leminei, the Rabbi Chia Baraba, kagon, darmi inshe, evor pashasa da, the asneya. So the Gemara says, no, clarification, that's not what he meant. When he said ulishnosa, lishnosa from the word to be mishaneh, to repeat, to review. Meaning you're reading it once at night, and you're going to be reviewing it during the day, i.e. you're going to be reading it a second time. That's all that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi meant. It marnami amar Rabbi Chalba amar ula bira, chayv adam mekorsos Megillah v'alala ulish nosa bayom. There's an obligation to read the Megillah at night, to repeat it during the day. Shenemar l'mayin zemecha chavod, v'lo yidom Hashem alokai le'olam odeka. Gemara quotes another parak in Tehillim that speaks to this idea that you should be reading it not once, but on two separate occasions. Okay. There is a really interesting discussion in terms of this statement of Rav Yeshua ben Levi that there's an obligation to read at night and to repeat it during the day. So the Cheshek Shlomo, Rav Shlomo of Vilna, so he has a tremendous chiddush, and that is that from the time of the Megillah and even going into the time of the Mishnayos, so the obligation to read was bayom. It was an obligation to read during the day. And Rav Yehoshua ben Levi was Mechadesh. He was the one who came along and instituted to also read at night as well. Now, that's a tremendous chiddush. The Gemara does not say that. The Gemara just simply says there's an obligation to read at night and during the day as well. But he said that Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is actually coming and giving us an additional step, an additional, if you want to call it an additional mitzvah to Rabbanon, to read it at night. Evidence for this chiddush, it's such a tremendous chiddush. Evidence for this chiddush, because if you go through all of Mishnayos and Megillah, so you're going to see that the Mishnayos is only focusing on the Kriyas and Megillah Bayom and never mentions Kriyas and Megillah Balayla. One of the best pieces of evidence is the Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta, where the Mishnah says that for the mitzvahs that are during the day, you have Kol Yom, you have the whole day to do the mitzvah. And for the mitzvahs of Layla, you have the whole night to do so. And then the Mishnah gives examples of what are mitzvahs bayom and what are mitzvahs balayla. So when the Mishnah says what are mitzvahs bayom, so the Mishnah there says, as one of the examples, Kriyas and Megillah. And then when the Mishnah says, and what about mitzvahs balayla? So you can guess already. What does the Mishnah not talk about? Mishnah doesn't talk about Kriya balayla. So that and other pieces of evidence would seem to indicate that the original mitzvah, as per the instructions of the Megillah, is to read bayom. And it's Rav Yehoshua ben Levi who's introducing to us an additional mitzvah of Kriya Balayla as well. And then, again, a lot more discussion in terms of which one's the Iker, in terms of the brachas. Okay, a lot of discussions over here. A lot to discuss in today's daf. We're just right now highlighting the basic points. Elashak farim magdimim liyam haknisa. We're in Dal Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And now we're continuing in the Gemara. We went through all the statements of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi that covered the first half of today's daf. And now the Gemara is going to be focusing on the kula that was given to the Bnei HaKfarim. Now, Am Rabbi Chanina Chacham Mikil Al HaKfarim Liyos Makim Liyam HaKnisa Kedei, Shiyisap Gumayim HaMazal Lachem Shebekrachim. So Rabbi Chanina says, Rabbi Chanina is going to attempt to give an explanation in terms of what this kula is predicated on. Meaning, here's what we know. We know that the Ben Kfar, the villagers, are going to be hearing the Megillah early. Why are they going to be hearing the Megillah early? Meaning, we only know that there is a kula, but we weren't really clear about why there's a kula. So when Rabbi Chanina first presents it to us in terms of why there's a kula, so he says it in a somewhat confusing and ambiguous way. So he says, focus on the last line of the Gemara, "Kidei sheyispiku mayim umazam lachem shebekrachim," so that water and food will be given to their to the brothers in the city. Now, limeimra. So the Gemara says, "Okay, I hear that." Now, what does that seem to indicate? As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, "Ditakanta dekrachim havu." Ah, so right now, here's what we think. This was done for whose benefit? Now, ultimately, we all know the answer. But right now, the Gemara thinks that it was done for the people in the city's benefit. Why? Because basically, the kfarim are, I'm just using modern terminology, they're the caterers. Okay? And as such, so they're going to be catering the meals of Purim. Well, how are they going to have time to be catering if they have to hear the Megillah? Ah, so the Chachamim gave them a dispensation where they can hear the Megillah earlier so that they'll be able to cater to the people in the city. Right now, that's how the Gemara is framing the kula that's given to them. So really, the beneficiaries of the kula are not the Bnei HaKfarim, but rather it's the people living in the city. That's right now how the Gemara is hearing it. So the Gemara says, V'atanan. The Gemara says, I don't think you're right. Why? Because Kalios Bishani Kfarim Vayar's Gedolos Korim Babayom. So because look at our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, what happens when Purim falls out on a Monday? Everybody hears the Megillah on Monday. Meaning if you are a Ben Ir or you're a Ben Kfar, you're going to be hearing it on Monday. Now, if the whole point of the Kula is in as a benefit for the people in the city, so you know what we should do? So we should have the Bnei Ayaros reading earlier. Meaning maybe they should be hearing the previous Thursday. So that's what the Gemara suggestion is that we should go back to the Yom HaKnisa. So the Gemara has a funny answer to this. The Gemara says, Havalu Asara. Well, the Asara lo tikna rabbanan. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why you can't do that. Because to go from Monday to the previous Thursday, so that'll be the 10th day of Adar. As we already established in the beginning of the Masechta, you can't read on the 10th day of Adar. The only eligible dates to read the Megillah is anywhere within the range of the 11th to the 15th of Adar. The 10th is too early. Okay, so from there, so it just simply Efshar. There's no other possibility. So Tashma Chalios Bechamishik Farim Vayaros Gedolos Korim Babayom. So the Gemara says fine. But what happens if it comes out now on a Thursday? So what did we learn in the Mishnah? We learned that everyone's going to be reading on Thursday. The Ben Ir and the Ben Kfar are going to be reading on Thursday. V'imisa liktim uli yamaknisa de'echarasu hu miyamaknisa yamaknisa lo dechinan. Sorry, that's already the answer. So the Gemara says, so why don't I have now the Ben Kfar reading on the previous Monday? Now, the previous Monday is only going to be the 11th. That's eligible. So why don't we do that? So, and again, if the whole purpose of the dispensation is to free up the catering so that the Ben Ir now will have people catering to them, literally. So why not have the Ben Kfar reading it earlier? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, well, miyom haknisa liyom haknisa lo dachinan. The Gemara says, as a technical point, once it lands on one yom haknisa, you can't back it up to the previous yom haknisa. Not perfectly clear what the Gemara means by that. The previous yom haknisa is, in fact, the 11th. Why don't you back up from one yom haknisa to the other? Okay, Tashma. Am Rav Yudai Mesabem Makam Shem Haknisa Shenichnasim B'Shin V'Chamishi. Ava Makam Shein Nichnasim B'Shin V'Chamishi In Karnosa Ela Bizmana. So the Gemara says, when do they have this dispensation? Only when they come in on Mondays and Thursdays. That's the only time that you have this dispensation. But if they don't come in on Mondays and Thursdays, so then there's no heter. And again, if you're suggesting that the whole purpose of the takana was as a benefit for the Ben Ir, so then what difference does it make whether they normally come in earlier, they don't normally come in earlier, if the whole point is to free up the caterers, so that the people in the city can have people serving them on Purim, so then you should have them reading earlier every year, regardless of whether they normally come in or they don't come in. So the Gemara says, Mishum Dei Nechnasim B'Sheni V'Chamishi, So low tamer. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. So we just spent a good amount of time in today's daf entertaining the possibility that the whole dispensation was as a service for the Ben Ir. So the Gemara does now what we knew the Gemara was going to do, and that is flip it around. Wrong, meaning our assumption was incorrect, that the whole point of reading early is a dispensation for the Ben Kfar. So lo tema kidei she yispiku mayma mazon, ela ema mipnei she maspika mayma mazon lachim she bekrachim. Ah, so the mipnei now changes everything, meaning because they're going to be unavailable to come in on Purim. Now, why are they unavailable? So the way Rashi says it, Rashi said in the beginning of the Masechta, is that, look, they're coming in on Monday and Thursdays, meaning the villagers are coming in on Monday and Thursday, that's market day, and that's when they make their trip. Would they make their trip another time during the week? It'd be possible, but really difficult. So anyway, look, they're coming in on Mondays and Thursdays, so a dispensation made for their benefit, meaning the Ben Kfar, the villagers, because they're coming in on Monday and Thursday anyway, and they're doing so in order to provide and supply the people in the city with food. So now the Chachamim said, okay, you're here anyway, so someone's going to be reading for you. And again, there's a lot of different ways to say it. I'm saying it like Rashi. That's the way Rashi presented the beginning. We're just going to keep presenting it like Rashi. But in other words, but the Gemara now has flipped around its assumption. It's not a service. It's not for the Ben Ir. It's for the Ben Kfar. Okay. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to be bothered by the following. If you follow the Mishnah carefully from beginning to end, so first the Mishnah introduces us to the Megillah is read anywhere between the 11th day and the 15th day of Adar. That's the range. And again, depending on who you are. Okay. Then what the Mishnah did is the Mishnah says, here, let me spell this out. Let me give you examples. And the Mishnah goes from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Okay? So what the Mishnah did is first it went in the order of dates from 11 to 15. And then when giving the examples, the Mishnah then went to days, Monday through Sunday. Now, what the Gemara is bothered by is that that's not consistent. Meaning, if you're following the chronology of dates, so then the days are not going to go in the order of Monday through Sunday. Because consider that only on Sunday is it backed up to the 11th. I know this part's a little bit confusing, but if you, instead of opting with the days, if you wanted to be consistent with the Mishnah, you should maintain the dates in its proper sequence, even though the days will be out of order. So, Mishnah Resha Denakat Sidura De Yarcha, Umishnah Sefa Denakat Sidura De Yume. But that's basically the Gemara's question. Why did the Mishnah start off giving us the chronology of dates and then go in the sequence of days? And that obviously, if you're sequencing days, the dates now get all flipped around. So the Gemara says, "I did the misapchele nakat sidur diyoma." So the Gemara's answer is actually it'd be, just be too confusing, meaning that if I started saying, "Okay, so the range is from 11 to 14. So when do I read on the 11th? Well, that's if it falls on a Sunday. And when do I read on the 12th? Well, that's if it falls out. And now we're going to have to figure out in our heads, like when would be the occasion when you're going to be reading on the 12th? And the days will be all shuffled around, and it'll just simply be too confusing. That's why the Mishnah elected with a system of presenting the information where it would be as least confusing as possible, meaning here's what happens if Purim falls out on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, and it's just an easier way to present the information. And even though, yes, it's true, the Mishnah now has left the dates and focused on the days, but the Mishnah made that executive decision simply because it's a better way to present the information. It's less confusing. Chalios Be'er Shabbos. Next. Big discussion coming up in the Gemara right now in terms of what happens when Purim falls out on a Friday. So again, there's a lot of moving parts. There's when the Ben Kfar is going to be reading, when the Ben Ir is going to be reading, and when are the Krachim going to be reading. And so now on Friday, so it becomes a bit of a struggle. Masnissen Rebbe, E Rebbe Yossi. The Mishnah could be going like either Rebbe or Rebbe Yossi, so my Rebbe. So first of all, Rebbe, what is Rebbe Shita? The Tanya we learned in Braisa. Chalios Be'er Shabbos. So if the 14th falls out on a Friday. So Kfarim V'Ayaris Gedolos Makdim L'Yom HaKnisa. So what you'll have is now Two people get moved up, two groups get moved up to Thursday, so the Kfar, which that's a given, and also the Ayaros get moved up. They get pushed up to Thursday. Now, that's interesting. Why should that be? Stay tuned. And the Umukafim Chom Makorim Baba Yom. And the wall cities are going to be reading on the 14th. Now, the wall cities cannot be reading on the 15th because the 15th is Shabbos. And the wall cities can't read after the 15th because Lo Yavor. So you understand now, the wall cities are reading on the 14th. That's a given. But according to the Tanakhama of this Brisa, so now the unwalled cities, the ear, are going to be reading on Thursday. Okay. That's really interesting. Hold the thought in terms of why. And Rebbe Omer Omerani, Rebbe says, no, I say, Lo Yitcha Yars Mim Kamam. No, the walled cities are going to be reading on the 14th. Sorry, I didn't mean that. The unwalled cities, meaning the ear, are going to be reading Bim Kaman. They're going to be reading on the 14th, meaning on the 14th day. So you'll have both unwalled cities and walled cities reading on the 14th. Okay. So, Ella Elav Elu Karim Baba Yom. Good. So they both are going to be reading Baba Yom. Now, my time into Tanakama. So now the Gemara is going to.
It says Elav Elu. There's three categories.
Right.
Which are the.
No, the unwalled and the walled.
Right. So.
There's
a, so presumably the Kfarim are still going to back up to Thursday because again they're given the dispensation because that's it, that's a market day. But Elav Elu is talking about the walled and the unwalled cities. So except for the Kfar. Thursday is for the. Okay, there, again, I know this, all this gets confusing, but there are two shitas right now in the Brisa. First, there's the Tanakama, and then there's the Shita Rebbe. So according to the Tanakama, so the Kfar and the Ben Ir are reading on Thursday. The Wall Cities are reading on Friday, okay? Even though Friday is the 14th. But again, as we already established in Braver, there's simply no choice. According to Rebbe, the Kfar are going to be reading on Thursday, but the Ir and the Krach are going to be reading on Friday. Okay, that's the Shitas. Now the Gemara says, let's have some understanding. So my time at the Tanakhama. So what's the basis of the sheet of the Tanakhama? Dichtiv b'chol shana v'shana, because the Megillah teaches us that you have to be following the same schedule annually. Ma kol shana v'shana ayaros kodmim lemukafim afkan ayaros kodmim lemukafim. So just like annually, so the ayaros have to read before the mukafim afkan ayaros kodmim lemukafim. Ah, so we need the unwalled cities and the walled cities to be reading on two different days because that's what happens on a standard year. So even though this year now is going to be a little bit strange, but they have to be reading on different days. And again, since 14th falls out on a Friday, so the walled cities, again, no choice. They're going to have to read on Friday because they can't read on Shabbos because you don't read on Shabbos. They can't read the day after because Lo Yavor. So they're going to be reading on Friday. Therefore, according to the Tanakhama, now you can't have the unwalled cities reading on the same day, therefore they move it up a day earlier. That is the shita of the Tanakhama. The Gemara says, okay, I'll push back. I don't know, annually, you know when the unwalled cities read? They read on the 14th. You know when they should be reading this year? Also on the 14th. In other words, if you're looking for continuity and doing the same thing every year, so I'll tell you they should be reading on the 14th. So Shani Achidalafshar, the Gemara says, yeah, but I can't do it this year. Since the wall cities are reading on the 14th, so Ein Breira. In other words, so just put it in other terms, we have competing values. Meaning on one hand, there's a value for them to be reading on the 14th. On the other hand, there's also a value for them to read on a different day than wall cities. So it's just a question of which value is going to beat the other. So according to the Tanakhama, two different days. That's the predominant value. And now Rebbe, so now as you could pretty much figure out now, what Rebbe's going to do is he's just going to work with the other value. V'Rebbe, my tama b'chol shana v'shana, ma'chol shana v'shana, in ayaros nitchim mim komam, afkan, lo yitchu ayaros mim komam. Okay, so for Rebbe, the predominant value is going to be the consistency of the date. Every year, the unwalled cities are reading on the 14th. Same thing this year as well. Yeah, but annually, you know, they have the unwalled city reading on a different day. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over here, lo efshar. Just there's no alternative. Okay, so what we just learned together is the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rebbe vis-a-vis what happens when Purim falls out on a Friday. And now, we went through the machlokus, and now we just simply discovered that our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rebbe. Could be following the Shita of Rebbe. My Rebbe Yossi, the Gemara says, okay, now, in terms of the Shita of Rebbe Yossi, what is that, Titania? Chalios Erev Shabbos. So now what happens if it falls out on an Erev Shabbos? So what do you do under those circumstances? Mukafim ukfarim matim liyom aknisa. So here, in this brisa, the Tanakhama takes a really interesting viewpoint, which is that the Kfar will read on Thursday, that we know, and the walled city is also going to read on Thursday as well. Now that's weird, because for the walled city, normally reading on the 15th, and now they're going to be reading this year on the 13th. Okay, but for reasons which we're going to articulate, and again, you probably can figure it out at this point in time. And the unwalled cities will read on Friday. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yaros, And what Rabbi Yossi will tell you is that no, don't take the walled cities and move them back to Thursday. Have the walled cities reading on Friday. Either reading with the unwalled cities, good, that's fine. So my time at the Tanakama. And so here again, we're going to go through the same back and forth. The only difference over here, because what comes out really is that Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe are one and the same Shita, what comes out over here is the Tanakama of this Brisa is different than the Tanakama of the previous Brisa, and that's all the Gemara now is just going to elaborate on. So my time at the Tanakama, Dichli, B'chol Shana V'Shana, Ma'chol Shana V'Shana, Ayaros Bar Basar, V'Zman Shozeh, Lo Zman Shozeh, Afkan Ayaros Bar Basar, V'Zman Shozeh, Lo Zman Shozeh. So here the Tanakama is working with the following assumptions. Unwalled cities read on the 14th, period. Walled cities are reading on a different day, period. Okay, now take those two pieces of information, and then you're going to arrive at the conclusion that, well, when are the walled cities going to read? So again, step number one, so the unwalled cities are reading on the 14th. Step number two, walled cities have to read on a different day. What's that different day going to be? It can't be Shabbos, because again, a given is that you can't read on Shabbos. It can't be Sunday, because again, another given is, it can't be Lo Yavor. And it has to be on a different day, Thursday. Okay, that's it. In other words, once you're given the rules, so then the conclusion is pretty obvious. The ema b'choshan v'shana ma'choshan v'shana imukafim kodmim la'ayaros afkan imukafim kodmim la'ayaros. Yeah, but if you want to keep consistency, on a normal year, on a standard year, the walled cities are not reading before the unwalled cities. So the Gemara says, yeah, shani hachad lo afshar. Okay, good. I understand that, but over here, ain breira, there's just simply no alternative. In my time of the Rebbe Yossi, what's the basis of the Shita of Rebbe Yossi? So this is easy. You never have the walled cities reading before the unwalled cities. So over here, this year, it's not going to be different. Now, granted, they're going to be reading on the same day, but again, I'll go with that value rather than having the walled cities reading earlier. According to Rav Yossi, the walled and unwalled cities are reading on the same day. So the Gemara says, Shani Achad Lo Afshar. Yeah, I know. They shouldn't be reading on the same day, but and this year, Ein Breira. Okay. V'Sava Rebbe Ayaros Lo Dachinan Liyom HaKnisa V'Atanya. The Gemara is bothered because it comes out now that according to Rebbe, the Ayaros are not going to get pushed back to the Yom HaKnisa. Don't we have the following brisa? Chal liyos b'Shabbos. What happens when it falls out on Shabbos? So kfar makdim liyom haknisa. So again, the kfar, the villagers, are going to go back to Thursday. That one's easy. The ayaros gedolos korin be'erev Shabbos. Now the ayaros gedolos are going to be reading on erev Shabbos, meaning even though it's not they can't read on the 14th, they'll just back it up one day to the 13th. Now the walled cities are reading on Sunday because that's the right date for them. Good. Rebbe will say, look, since the Ayaros are going to get pushed from their spot anyway, so moving back to Thursday. So, the Gemara right now thinks that we have such an unbelievable kasha. Because previously, Rebbe did not move the Ayaros, meaning when the 14th fell on a Friday, the Ayaros are reading on Friday. And not backing up to Thursday. Here, when the 14th falls on Shabbos, so the Ayaros, according to Rebbe, are going to back up to Thursday and not read on Friday. Okay, but hopefully at this point in time, I know we're going through this really quickly, but you figured it out already. So, Hachi Hashu, the Gemara says, Hasam Zmanim Shabbos, Yivahol Nitzchun Yitzchu, v'chazmanim erev Shabbos. The distinction is really obvious. Meaning when the 14th falls on a Friday, so you know why they're not going to move from Friday? Because Friday's the right date. So that's why they're going to read on Friday. Masha Einkein, if the 14th falls on a Shabbos, so you have to bump them anyway. So once they get bumped, so we'll bump them back to Thursday. Okay, it's really that simple. Okay. Keman az lahadam rebi chabo am rev huna purim shechalios b'shabbos. The Gemara wants to know, we have a memra of Rebbe Chalbo, that when Purim falls down on the Shabbos, Purim here meaning the 14th, so how kol nizchem liyama knisa? Everyone goes back to Thursday. Now, how kol nizchem sakadat chavah ikam mukafin de avdala machar? Not everybody. Wall Street is reading on Sunday. So the Gemara says, ela kol nizchem yitcha liyama knisa. No, those who are getting bumped, meaning the ayaros, they're going to get pushed back to Thursday. So keman ke Rebbe. So it goes like Shita's Rebbe. Okay. Very straightforward, meaning fine. So the memra of Rebbe Chabo is within the shita of Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Okay, let's finish up the daf. So far now, a long discussion regarding what happens when Purim falls out, or the 14th day falls out on a Friday. What happens when it falls out on Shabbos? How does everything get configured? Good. One of the givens in the entire discussion is that you are not reading the Megillah on Shabbos. Now, why not? Gemara's question, we know the answer. We all know the first answer. The second answer, we're going to learn together today. Dekule amma mi amigillah b'shabbos lo karina mai taima. So why are we not reading the Megillah on Shabbos? Amra ba kol chayam b'kriyas Megillah. It is a chovas hatzibor. Everyone is obligated. The enakol b'kim b'mikra Megillah, and not everyone is fluent in terms of how to read it. You're going to pick up your Megillah, you're going to carry it through, and obviously Shabbos you're not allowed to carry, but at the same time there is an obligation to read the Megillah. You're going to get lost in the mitzvah and possibly violate the malacha of Hotzah, or to be more accurate to the Gemara, you're going to be violating being mavir del amos b'rishus rabim. And if you remember the Gemara in Sukkah, Tosfos had a discussion over there. Rashi also had a discussion, if I remember correctly, why specifically being mavir del amos? Why not also be concerned with being motzi from one rishus to another rishus? Anyway, you're going to be violating hotza. V'hainu tamid deshofer, v'hainu tamid delulav, and that for that reason, the chachamim bumped the mitzvah of kriyas megillah from Shabbos. They bumped the mitzvah of Shofar, and they bump the mitzvah of Lulav when Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot, respectively, fall out on a Shabbos. Mind you, by the way, that the Lulav Shofar examples are much more powerful examples of the Chachamim being ma'akir, like totally uprooting it, because by Purim, so there are alternative dates. Okay. And but meanwhile, by Rosh Hashanah, there is no alternative date. And the same thing is true by Sukkah as well. I know there's 7 days of Sukkot, but for as far as the mitzvah de Araisa of Lulav, it's only the first day. Okay, so meanwhile, the Chachamim do that. Do the Chachamim have that power? We all know the answer. Yes, they do. Yesh koch b'yad Chachamim lakar davar min haTorah b'shev al tase. So if they are worried and want to create a gedder around the Torah, so they can even uproot a mitzvah in the Torah, but passively, meaning through our passive action, that's ironic. Through our inaction of not taking the lulav and not taking the shofar, and in this case, not taking the megillah. So they have that kind of power, legislative power. Okay. So explanation number one: why don't we read the megillah on Shabbos? Zera deraba. Explanation number two: Rav Yosef Amram Nimesha Einem Shaniim Nesuos BeMikra Megillah. Because you know what comes together with the mitzvah of Mikra and Megillah, so there's a mitzvah on Purim of Matan Slav Yonim. There's a mitzvah of Tzedakah every day of the year, but but on Purim there's a special mitzvah of Tzedakah. It's called Matan Slav Yonim. Now, what's the trigger? Meaning, what tells the Aniyim that today is Purim? So what tells them that is going to be Mikra and Megillah? So what happens is that if we keep the Mikra and Megillah on Shabbos, you know who's going to lose out? The Aniyim are going to lose out, because obviously no one's carrying money on Shabbos. And so therefore, the Aniyim are going to lose out, because they're going to be reading the Megillah, and they're going to, and the Aniyim are not going to get their money. Okay, so the, Tanya Namihachi, this second reason that's given by Rav Yosef. Now, mind you, by the way, Rav Yosef is, right, it's probably the best way to say it, and probably correct. Rav Yosef is not arguing with Rabbah, meaning the Gzeira de Rabbah, you have to say that the Gzeira de Rabba is a reason as well, because the Rav Yosef additional reason is only specific to Purim, meaning it'd be really difficult to suggest and argue that Rav Yosef says that you're allowed to take shofar on Rosh Hashanah and you're allowed to take lulav on Sukkot, meaning he agrees that you're not allowed to do so. The Mishnayos say so. So in other words, he's agreeing to the reason behind Rabba. He's giving an additional reason as well. Tanya Mehachi, we had the Gemara quotes of Brisa as well, supporting this. Afa Bisha Amr Kfar Magdim Liam Maknisa, Govim Bo Bayom. So, Umechalkim Bo Bayom. So, even though the Kfarim are going to be reading early, but still, in terms of collection, it's done on the 14th. Afa Bisha Amr Adarabah, Mishum De Amru. Ela Hova Amr Shikfar Magdim Liam Maknisa, Govim Bo Bayom, Umechalkim Bo Bayom, Mimneshe Nem Shal Aniyam Nesuas Be Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara says correction, meaning because the Kfarim are reading early, so that also is going to be connected with Matanos Le'Avyonim, meaning that the Aniyim are looking for the Mikra Megillah as basically their sign that today's Purim. So even though the Kfarim are reading earlier, but because you're reading, so they're also connected with that as the mitzvah of Matanos Le'Avyonim as well. Aval Simcha Inonu Heges Al Bezmana. Now, even though the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is done early, but as far as Simcha, meaning Rashi says the Suda is done on the 14th day. So, in other words, the dispensation to move the Kriya is only specific to the Kriya, and then also with the Kriya, we're going to be attaching Matanos Le'Avyonim to the Kriya. But in terms of the Suda remains and maintains on the 14th day of Adar. Let's quickly recap. Mishloach Manos. That's a great question. That's a great question, right? There is a discussion to be had regarding Mishloach Manos, if it is Seuda related, right? There's a Manos Halevi that would suggest that as well. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so why? Yeah, Rabba is maybe the attribution is only because he broadcast the information, meaning the Gzera may have predated him. That would seem to be the best way to suggest it. Okay, part number one of today's daf, as a quick recap, is all the comments of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Yeshua ben Levi made a number of comments, most of them having to do with the walled city, the status of a walled city. But then he made a number of other comments, notably women are chayv in the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. Women are chayv in the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, and the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is twofold. It's both during the day and the night prior. Originally the Chachamim were a little bit confused by that, but that's another comment. Also another comment he made of what happens when Purim falls down on Shabbos, you're not reading the Megillah. So, but the Rav is going to be darshing the Megillah. Okay, so the first half of today's daf is all the statements of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Then, as we turn the page today from Dalamud Aleph to Dalamud Beis, so a discussion to be had regarding why were the Chachamim allowing the villagers to read the Megillah early? For a moment, more than a moment, the Gemara actually thought that it was a service that was done for the people living in the city. So it frees up the caterers. That's that was the Gemara's original thought. And the Gemara said, "No, correction. That's not correct. It was a service that was done for the villagers, meaning that the villagers are anyway coming in on Monday and Thursday. It would be onerous to ask them to come in again during the week. So therefore, they were given an opportunity to read early. Okay, that's the Gemara's conclusion. The order of the Mishnah: first, the Mishnah presented the dates, and then the Mishnah flipped, and the Mishnah then presented in the chronology of days, which takes the dates and shuffles them around. Why would the Mishnah do that? The Gemara says because it's a better way to present the information. It's clear. Then a long discussion on the Amud Beis regarding what happens when the 14th falls on a Friday. How does everything get... When is everyone reading the Megillah? So we saw two Braisas, the Tanakhama arguing with Rabbi and Braisa number one, the Tanakhama arguing with Rabbi Yossi and Braisa number two. Our Mishnah either could subscribe to the Shita Rebbe or Rebbe Yossi, otherwise stated, Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi in agreement with one another. The only reason why we went over both Brisas is because the Tanakhama of each of those Brisas takes a slightly different position in terms of when the walled city should read. According to Brisa number one, the walled city should read on Friday. According to Brisa number two, the walled city should be reading on Thursday. Okay. And then finally, our last discussion of this morning is why don't we read the Megillah on Shabbos, meaning if the 14th falls out on Shabbos, so just read the Megillah on Shabbos, what's the big deal? So the Gemara reintroduces us to now, this is the third time in Seder Yuma, right? We saw this back in Sukkah, we saw this in Rosh Hashanah, and now, Baruch Hashem, we saw this now in Megillah. So Gzera the Rabba made Gzera, that we may end up violating Shabbos if the requirement to read on Shabbos is actually going to be in force. So we're going to absentmindedly carry the Megillah through a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And so for concern and protecting the sanctity of Shabbos, so therefore the Chachamim were goes there. Okay? And the Gemara also provided for us an alternative explanation in terms of why it's going to be pushed off from Shabbos, because the Aniyim are looking for Kriyas and Megillah in terms of when is the proper time for collection. And if we kept the Kriya on Shabbos, so then the Aniyim would not be getting their matanos.